past the rest stop, it's the next exit after that, take a left, go up, and you just go right back into Highway 90 is what it is. And then turn right on, and it's just a half mile down on your right, something like that. You know where it is now? You going? Good. Praise the Lord. So, anyway, that'll be going on this week. Just don't go there Wednesday night. Amen. I'm sorry? They have day services too? Yeah. Yeah, I know. I just don't remember. But yeah. Amen. All right. Thank you, sister. Thank you. Like to do this real quick, if we could, before we have our service tonight. Our deacon, Brother Wes, and Brother Kenny, if you all could come up here, and our youth pastor, Brother Nate, and Sister Tammy, if you'd come up here. And we just want to have some prayer for Tammy and her surgery on Tuesday. And so if you all would pray, and I'm sure Wes is already praying a lot for his wife, and he can do that. But I'm going to have Brother Nate and Brother Kenny pray for Tammy. Y'all just sit down if you want there. And we just want to pray for our sister. Amen? That the Lord will bless and the surgery will go well. Just ask the Lord to do what he needs to do. It's a major surgery. She's getting all the way cut open. All right? They're thinking she's got a tumor they're going to have to take out and all that. They've got to look around in there. So they're unzipping her and zipping her all the way back up. That's a big deal. All right? So you pray. You pray. All right? Brother Nate, you start us off in prayer, please.
Father in heaven, God, we gather to this point to be God. That time on earth, God, to lift up our sister here, God, and ask you for mercy upon her. God, I ask for strength. God, as they go through this. And it's a serious thing, God. We don't want to see our sister suffer or hurt. We want to ask you, God, that you might take her heart and comfort it, God, and comfort Brother Wes and the family. Make sure that as they go into this surgery, God, they're prepared. Spiritually, God, I ask you to lift her up, God, give her body strength to handle whatever they've got to take out, God. I pray you help her body to be able to recover. God, I ask for wisdom for the doctors, God.
Yeah.
They'll be able to get everything out that needs to come out. And anything that needs to stay, God. But most of all, you guide that surgeon's hand through her body, God. And give him real wisdom. I pray you send your Holy Spirit, God, there in that room, God.
Give her
comfort, Lord, and get her through this thing. And better out on the other side, God. I ask for a special dose of grace for her and her family as she goes through this. And Lord, please hear our prayers as we pray after tonight and tomorrow and as she goes into the surgery, God. We just ask you for a special blessing upon her that you pull her out of it in good shape, God, and with healing.
Amen.
Dear Heavenly Father, we just lift Miss Tammy up to you tonight, Father, for the surgery she's fixing to go through, God, Tuesday. Father, in my heart, I believe in her heart, Father, that she's going to turn everything over to you for that day, God. And that's a special day to do that, God, when you have to go into such a surgery as that, God, that it's out of our hands, God, and it's completely in your hands,
yes.
Father, and that's what we want it to be, God, because we know we can't have no control over it, God, it's all of you. Father, we ask you to be with her as she goes under, God, and you'll guide that surgeon's hand, Father, and like Brother Nate said, do what he needs to do and no further, God, than what he needs to do. And we ask for a quick recovery for her, God, that you'll heal her up as soon as you can, God. Be with Brother Wes and Danielle and the family, God, and all the family, Father, and comfort them through this, God, because I know you don't supposed to worry, God, but that does pop up in things like this, Father. And like I say, we just need to leave it in your hands, Father. And God, as she goes through this surgery, Father, I just pray that it'll be quick, Father, and it'll be over with, and there'll be no need for any more, God.
Yeah.
And she'll recover quickly, and they'll go on serving you, Father.
Amen.
We thank you for them. We ask you blessing upon this family, God, this day and Tuesday following the surgery's coming up. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Father, we're so thankful that we know, God, from your word that all things work together for good. And Lord, we thank you for working all this out. Lord, I know that you're looking after your child here, God. You're taking care of her. You want her to get better. And you worked all this out. You worked out her schedule. You worked out the timing and all of this, God. And we're just so thankful for that, Father. And Lord, we know you're in it. And so we just trust you, Father, that you'd help. And God, just give peace that passes all understanding, strengthen hearts, and God, just give those doctors, Lord, cunning and wisdom, the ability they need, Lord. Give them that spirit of wisdom and workmanship to accomplish this surgery, Lord, with no problems. And God, just see her through this. And Lord, we pray that we'd see her back in church in a couple weeks, Lord, and that she'd be glad, Lord, that she had this done. And Lord, we'd be able to just once again give you all the glory, Father, all the praise and all the honor. God, just ever draw us closer to Thee. Lord, we're thankful for so many prayers of healing, so many prayers in so many ways, God, of things that You've done for us here in this church. God, You're so compassionate and so merciful and so good and so kind. Father, we just praise Your holy name. We just thank You so much, God, for Your amazing grace. Now, Lord, be with the Barretts, Lord. Help them through this time. We ask and pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Love you, sister. Yeah. All right, Luke chapter 5. And coincidentally enough, I'll be preaching this evening on a cure for the worst disease. A cure for the worst disease. Luke chapter 5 and verse 12. And it came to pass, and thank God it always does, when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy. Full of leprosy. I mean, it's over his whole body. He's totally infected with leprosy. Who, seeing Jesus, which is a miracle in itself, because you eventually lose your sight with leprosy, who, seeing Jesus, fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And he put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from him. And he charged him to tell no man, but go and show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing, according as Moses has commanded, for a testimony unto them. But so much the more went there a fame abroad of him, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. And he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. Well, all this is going on, why would he withdraw himself? There's people that need his help. And yet the Lord knew there's sometimes you just got to step back. There's sometimes you've got to withdraw yourself and go and just get with God and have a season of prayer with the Lord. I also believe the Lord was somewhat burdened here because, let's face it, the Lord knew a lot that those people didn't know. And that's one of the things that'll grieve you more than anything else. It's kind of like when Jesus is talking to Mary and Martha, saying that, hey, Lazarus is going to live again, and I'm the resurrection and the life. But Lord, why are you saying move the stone? He's been dead already 4 days. By now he stinks. And it says that Jesus groaned in himself. He groaned in his spirit. A couple of times it says that. He's burdened. You know what burdened the Lord more than anything else, I believe, a lot of times? Is just the foolishness and the stupidity of man. Amen. You're going to minister and help other people. You know something you're going to need? You're going to need lots of grace. I'm glad God has a lot of grace. And the more you got to deal with people, you just have to have grace with them. Because my goodness, I was dealing with a lady this morning. She was all upset because I said that speaking in tongues in the message was garbage. And what do you do with garbage? Yeah, you get rid of it. Amen. That's why I call it. You need to get rid of it. It's a joke. It's not biblical. Of course, when I wanted to show her what the Bible had to say about it, she wasn't interested. But she believes the Bible. See how that stuff goes? You know what you're dealing with there? purposeful ignorance. And it grieves you sometimes when you see this stuff. You get grieved, but you can't. You got to step back and you just got to pray and just, Lord, give them some sense. Help them out. You're going to need a lot of patience when you're dealing with people. Amen? The Lord needed it. Jesus tells this fella, I want you to go to the priest. You know why he told him that? Because that's what the law said to do. And Jesus never wants anybody to sin. Jesus never wants anybody to go against what he said in his book. And so when he heals that guy, the first thing he tells him to do is you obey that Bible. And back there in Leviticus chapter 13 and 14 is where all the instruction is given about this disease, leprosy. And leprosy is a very terrible disease. And this leprosy that this man had all over him, Jesus, when he heals him, he tells him, now you go, and you go to the priest, and you let him know that you've been cleansed of your leprosy for a testimony unto them. Why? Because nothing like that had ever happened before. Nobody full of leprosy had ever been healed before. They didn't have drugs and stuff back then. They didn't have anything that could heal someone. If you had leprosy, that was it. I mean, you were done. And word got out, like I said this morning, what if you had a cure for cancer? You know, these charismatics claim to have the gift of healing. Really? Well, I wish there was one of them here tonight to have her touch Sister Tammy so she wouldn't have to have surgery. Right? If they have the gift of healing, they shall lay their hands on the sick and they shall recover. What did Jesus do? He just touched them and he was healed. That's the gift of healing. Listen, if you had the gift of healing, these days we have hospitals. They didn't have them back then. These days, if you had the gift of healing, all you've got to do is go to the children's hospital and start laying your hands on. You mean you have that gift and you haven't done it? You go to the children's hospital, lay your hands, blop, 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 every single kid you see through there. But man, if I had that gift, that's what I'd be doing, wouldn't you? Go through there, bup, 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 heal every single one of them. Go to the next hospital, bup, bup, bup. How long do you think it'd take before you had 20 millionaires on the phone offering you all their money? You wouldn't have to set up no healing lines and get on TV and beg people to send you money. You understand the foolishness, the madness of that stuff? It's crazy. That's the day and age we live in. You know, it's only been in existence for 100 years, this charismatic movement. And the reason is it took that long for Americans to get that dumb where they'd fall for it. Amen. And because you gotta have a screw loose to fall for that stuff. I'm trying to be charitable. Don't make me have to withdraw into the wilderness. Amen. all he did is touch him and he was healed. Jesus had to withdraw himself and pray. Everyone wants good health. I don't blame that fellow for coming to Jesus. If I'd had leprosy and I heard Jesus was around, I would have gone to him too, wouldn't you? He heard Jesus was in town, man, maybe he can heal me of this leprosy. Every one of us wants good health. Bible says, skin for skin, all that a man hath will he give for his life. John, 3 John 2, Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in good health, even as thy soul prospereth. How many times prayer meetings, we prayed tonight, how many times at prayer meeting we're praying that God will heal somebody, God will heal somebody, and God will heal. Why? Because we want to see people healthy. We all want to be healthy. It's a luxury. If you have good health this evening, that's a great luxury. You're a very rich person. Amen. If you have good health this evening, that is a luxury. You ought to thank God for it every single day. Amen. You want good health? The Bible says, godliness is profitable unto all things, having a promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come. Hey, you know what you need to do? Eat right, work right, pray right, stay right. You'll have better health. That's a promise from God. Amen. Eat right, work right, pray right, stay right. You say, Brother Ray, what do you mean eat right? You've talked before about the Bible doesn't say you can't eat certain foods and all that. I understand all that. I'm just saying eat right. You understand when we're talking about food today, we're not talking about food. Y'all realize that. Half the stuff that you buy in a grocery store today didn't exist 100 years ago. Why? Because they hadn't come up with the chemicals and the different Play-Dohs and plastics to put in your food so it would look and taste like it does now. And the monosodium glutamates, the MSG, and the high fructose corn syrup, and all the stuff that you're putting into your body, you better, you know, at least pray over your food, if nothing else. Are you? You know what we do? We're doing all that stuff. We know we're poisoning ourselves, but we can't stop. Amen, because you don't have any self-control. We're, you know, just the pleasures of America, that's what we're used to. And then what happened? Well, you get diabetes, and you get heart disease, and then you pray, and you ask God to heal you. Well, amen. Maybe he will. I'll pray for you. Amen. But you reap what you sow. In everything in life, don't you? Is that a law? You reap what you sow. See? You ought to think about some of the things you put in your body a little bit. Wouldn't hurt you. All right? I'm not saying that you have to be a health fanatic and all that stuff, but... you know, what's wrong with eating something that's actually good for you? It wouldn't hurt. And you know what that is. As soon as I said that, certain things came to your mind. And things that are bad for you, those things come to your mind too. Amen. How much of it are you eating? See, you keep doing that now, you're going to have health problems, and then you're going to be praying and asking God to heal you. Well, some of that you can avoid. Let's face it. Let's be honest. Some of those problems you could avoid. But you don't. Amen. I mean, somebody that gets drunk every night, you think after a while they're going to have health problems? All right, well, we'll pray for them. But you reap what you sow. Drunkenness in the Bible is not associated with drinking alcohol, you know. It's also associated with eating food. If you get drunk all the time on food, what's going to happen to your health? Boy, it's getting quiet in here tonight. I must have hit a nerve. What have I said that isn't true? You know what I said is true. See? Hey, I'm not saying, you do what you want. All I'm saying is when the diabetes comes, when the heart disease comes, you know, don't say, God, why me? It happened to you because of the way you lived. You didn't exercise your body at all. You were eating a bunch of junk. And look what happened. You know how that happens? Over a long process of time. Say, why? That's how sin works. And you reap what you sow. And Jesus withdraws himself and prays after this event. Most of those that were coming, they weren't coming to hear the word of God. Most of those that were coming to be healed. And it grieved the Lord after a while. They were coming for their sore foot and their sore back and their leprosy and their blindness and the mute were coming to speak and the deaf were coming to hear. And hey, I understand all that. Those that had the Bible says in one place there that Jesus healed the maimed. Let me see a charismatic do that one. Maimed, that means they were missing a foot or missing a leg and Jesus healed them. He touched them and boop, a leg popped back on. Hand popped back on. Arm back on. When Malchus gets his ear cut off, Jesus just picks it up and puts it back on his head. Boop! There it is. Amen? Hey, there's the great physician. But you know what burdened the Lord more than anything else with these people? Is they saw the diseases, they saw the problems of all the physical things that they had, but they never realized, they could never understand what the worst disease was. And leprosy here in this passage is a terrible disease. But leprosy is just a picture of a worse disease. And that worst disease is sin. That's the worst disease that there is. You're born with it. It's hereditary. You know what that leprosy pictures? Leprosy is a picture of sin and what it'll do in your life. And so this evening, I'd like to look at some things concerning leprosy. But like I said, the title of the message is A Cure for the Worst Disease. And those with leprosy, they wanted their leprosy healed. But what if that fellow had asked Jesus, Lord, could you heal me? I've sinned. Could you heal me of my sin problem? Huh? Anybody saved here tonight? You know what the Lord's done for you? He's healed you. Amen. He's healed you from having to pay a price for sin, and you get to live forever. Amen? But he can also heal you in this life, Christian. You're struggling with some sin. The Lord can heal you. You know what you've got? You've got some leprosy. You got to watch that stuff. It's deadly. That stuff breaks out. If it doesn't get tended to, It'll kill you. And leprosy in the Bible is a picture of sin. And that's why the Lord's dealing with this fella. And that's why he tells him afterwards, go and show yourself to the priest. You know what you do after you get saved? You make a testimony. You let everybody know, hey, I got saved. You know what you're doing? You're showing yourself to the priests. We're the priests now. Amen. We're all a royal priesthood. And so you show yourself to the priest. If you get victory over something in your life as a Christian, you ought to go to some other Christians and let them know. Give God the glory. Amen. Make it known to the other priests. Give God, for a testimony, he said. And that'd be a good testimony of what the Lord's done for you. And the worst thing about that disease, they all had it. It wasn't just the leper. They all had the disease of sin. Everyone in here has that disease of sin. And the most terrible part about it is right in front of them was standing the cure. Because the cure for leprosy is the Lord Jesus Christ. And up until that time, there had never been anybody that was just healed right on the spot like that. Boom! Just that quick. Healed of their leprosy. And like I said, in Leviticus chapter 13, it gives some descriptions on leprosy, and it starts with a rising or a spot in the flesh. Look over there in verse 12. Verse 12, and it came to pass when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy. So this fellow had more than just a spot on him. Do you understand? This was full-blown leprosy. He had it throughout his entire body. And I'm going to read you some stuff here and look at this thing. Let me just say a few things first. And I'm going to read you some background material. All I did is I did a bunch of research on leprosy. And brethren, there's some stuff in here. The Lord, when he makes a comparison of something, he knows what he's talking about. When the Lord uses an illustration for sin and getting cured from the problem of sin, he uses a leper to do it. Isn't that interesting? And I'm going to read you some stuff tonight. We're going to look over some stuff on this thing of leprosy. It's also known as Hansen's disease. It is a chronic disease called by the bacteria Mycobacterium leprae and Mycobacterium lepromatosis, named after physician Gerhard Amor Hansen. Leprosy is primarily a granulomatous disease of the peripheral nerves and mucosa of the upper respiratory tract. Skin lesions are the primary external sign. Now, they said it was named after, that's Hansen's disease, named after the doctor, because until then, the doctor had never named it, but God already named it way back in the Bible. That was there before that doctor ever was. The Bible told you what it was called. It was called leprosy. It says, left untreated, leprosy can be progressive. You know what happens when you don't treat sin in your life? You know what happens when you just let it sit there and you just let it sit there? You know what it's doing inside of you? Do you have any idea how it's affecting you? It needs to be treated. It needs to be taken care of. You need to look right at that thing and say, this thing is killing me. I got to do something about it. You got to take it seriously. It can progress, causing permanent damage to the skin, nerves, limbs, and eyes. I've seen that happen to lots of Christians. You know what happens? They mess around with that thing, and they mess around with it, and they know they're not supposed to be. And they think they're getting away with it. But you're messing around with it. You're messing around with it. You're playing with it. And you're playing with it. You know what's happening? It's getting in there and it's starting to affect your nerves. What happens when it affects your nerves? You don't feel anything. And so you don't even realize now what damage it's doing to you. Because you can't feel it. And then it begins to affect their eyes. And they can't even see right. You ever seen that happen to a Christian? And after a while, we've had them in here. We've had them come into RU. Well, you know, I just can't, I already know the Bible. I don't need to go to that RU anymore. Say, where are they now? Out, living the life they've always lived. a life of sin. And it just progresses and it progresses. And after a while, they end up having to take all kinds of pills to go to bed at night and everything else. See, what is it? Sin! All it is. Could have been dealt with. But after a while, it gets where it doesn't even bother them. I mean, a preacher get up and preach right on their sin. Just bam, bam, bam. Doesn't even move them. Doesn't even concern them. No conviction. No, what happened? Reprobate. What happened? Just lost all feeling. Couldn't feel it anymore. Couldn't see right anymore. That's what leprosy will do. Contrary to folklore, leprosy does not cause body parts to fall off, although they can become numb or diseased as a result of secondary infections. And so what happens is you don't feel it, and so then when you do get a disease or on your feet, you get rocks in your feet, and you don't even realize it because you can't feel them, and then that causes more problems, and that's what happens. And then sometimes gangrene sets in and everything else, but they don't even feel it a lot of times until it's too late. And then what happens, secondary infections in turn can result in tissue loss, causing fingers and toes to become shortened and deformed as cartilage is absorbed into the body. So after a while, what it does is it eats up all the cartilage. So all you got is bone on bone everywhere. After a while, their nose goes away. So all the cartilage in their nose gets sunk in, and their fingers all come up. That's leprosy. And you know what that is? That's just a small picture of the worst disease ever. The disease that's killed more than any other. Sin. Sin. The wages of sin is death. Now, there's many kinds of leprosy. There's just not one type of it. There's many different kinds. And it's divided into the following types: early and intermediate leprosy, tuberculoid leprosy, borderline tuberculoid leprosy, borderline leprosy, borderline lepromatous leprosy, lepromatous leprosy, histoid leprosy, diffuse leprosy of Lucio and Latapi. Whatever all that means. Say, what are you saying? There's all different kinds of leprosy, and one may affect one person and one may affect another person. And some affect them differently. You see, we'll look at one person and say, well, look at him and look at the sin he's in and how that's ruining his life. Yeah, but what sin is in your life ruining you? You see, when I was talking on that food stuff there, some of you, if you looked and you saw somebody that was smoking, say, yeah, look at how they're ruining your health. But you can do it just as much eating. Amen. Or drinking, or doing drugs, or all kinds of stuff. Sexual immorality, catch some disease. There's a big rash of stuff that's hepatitis C going around now. People messing around. And here's the thing. What affects you might not affect someone else. So don't be too hard on them. Don't be too critical on them just because they have a different form of leprosy than you might. Amen? Yeah. Well, maybe that guy's thing is drugs, or maybe that guy's thing is alcohol, or maybe that, but maybe yours is something else. See? The wages of sin is death. How many of us are going to die if Jesus doesn't come back? Well, then we're all infected. Now, thank God the Lord sets us free from the curse of it. The signs and symptoms of leprosy. It begins, the first signs are skin lesions. It's first going to show up, it's always going to show up first in the flesh. That's the problem, isn't it? It'll always show up in the flesh. You got a problem, you know what it is? You got flesh. And that stuff will show up in there. And it'll show up a lot of times just a little lesion, a little scaliness. Left untreated, leprosy can be progressive, causing permanent damage to the skin, nerves, limbs, and eyes. Other than that, you're fine with it. The history. This Dr. Hansen, a discoverer of the M. lepra DNA, taken from the shrouded remains of a man discovered in a tomb next to the old city of Jerusalem. Wow. This fellow that named this Hansen's disease of leprosy and started coming up with the first treatments for it, he went back to the oldest remains that they could find of somebody that had it. And it's for a tomb for somebody right there in old Jerusalem. Right in Jerusalem where Jesus Christ was ministering. The old city of Jerusalem shows him to be the earliest human proven to have suffered from leprosy. The remains were dated to between 1 and 50 A.D. Right when Jesus Christ was on the earth. Isn't that wild? That's something, man. Talk about a coinky-dinky. You got one there. I know one thing about that fella. He was there, and he was there around the time of Jesus. I can tell you one thing. He didn't come to Jesus. He never came to Jesus. Or he wouldn't have had leprosy. Because that's where the cure is. It's in Jesus Christ. After the end of the 17th century, Norway. This was all surprising to me. I don't know about you. Norway, Iceland, and England were the countries in Western Europe where leprosy was a significant problem. Hey, this is 300 years ago. During the 1830s, the number of lepers in Norway, Iceland, and England rose rapidly, believed to be caused by frequent visits of sailors who visited from Western India, causing an increase in medical research into the condition, and the disease became a political issue. Norway appointed a medical superintendent for leprosy in 1854 and established a national register for lepers in 1856, the first national patient register in the world. Isn't that something? I never knew what it is. Mycobacterium leprae, the causative agent of leprosy, was discovered by G.H. Hansen in Norway in 1873, making it the first bacterium to be identified as causing disease in humans. The principal opposition to Hansen's view that leprosy was an infection disease came from his father-in-law, Daniel Cornelius Danielson, who considered it a hereditary disease. So which is it? I guess both. It's hereditary, you're born with a sin nature, but it's also very contagious. That's why Brother Nate's had to put the clamps down on that youth program. That's why you have to put the clamps down on that stuff. That stuff's contagious. You get one young person messing around, and before you know it, you'll have 10 of them. They always feel obligated to recruit. You get one of them fornicating, you'll end up with 10 of them fornicating. Amen. You get one of them messing around with Copenhagen or cigarettes or beer, you'll get 10 of them. Just like that. You get one of them disrespecting the parents around the other kids, all the others will start doing it too. One will lead and the others will follow. Are you a leader or a follower? And who are you following? And who are you leading? The principal, the standard reference book on leprosy for 1848 was Trite de la Spedelichek elephantesesti grex. In other words, in Greece they call it elephantiasis, and so they connected it with that. The standard reference book for leprosy. Until the death of Danielson in 1895. And over 1 million people have it today on the earth, even when it's treatable, because they can't afford the treatments in a lot of these countries. Because the treatments they use now are multi-drug. They got to hit it from so many different angles all at one time to try to kill that bacteria and heal those people. And most of those people in Vietnam and Cambodia and India, they can't afford it. Brother Tillman, over there in Thailand and Mongolia, that's what he does. He ministers in the leper colonies, winning those people to God. But that's it's an interesting thing, because you have to admit it's more prevalent than most people realize. Just like sin. It's more prevalent than most people realize. Most people have no idea. How many of you knew that it was a big problem in Norway and Iceland and England just a couple hundred years ago? I didn't. That's the thing about sin, isn't it? We'll always be surprised when we hear so-and-so fell into this sin and so-and-so did that. How could that happen? Believe me, it's a lot more prevalent than most people give it credit for. Amen. Just a few more things here. Etymology. The word leprosy comes from the ancient Greek. Huh, these guys are just like Bible correctors. lepra. A disease that makes the skin scaly, in turn, a nominal derivation of the verb lepo, to peel or scale off. Lepos, in ancient Greek, means peel or scale. So from lepos, we have lepos, who has peels, he who has scales. Because of the stigma, listen to this, because of the stigma to patients, some prefer not to use the word leprosy, though the term is used by the U.S. Center for Disease Control and Prevention and the World Health Organization. The ones that really know what they're doing, they call it by name. They call it leprosy. But most, they don't like that term. Isn't that like sin? You know what people like? They don't like that word sin. It's just three letters. But it just has something. It has a connotation behind it. Sin! They don't like that. They don't like that. They prefer, I made an error. You know, or I it was just a mistake. It was a misstep. Oh, he just has a disease. No, he's got a sin problem. Oh, he's just gay. No, he's a sex pervert. He's a sodomite. Oh, she's just a, she just likes to get around a lot. You know, she just likes to, you know, sleep around a lot. You mean she's a whore? See, people don't like to be plain anymore. There's a stigma associated with it. Well, he just likes to run with the ladies, man. You mean he's a whoremonger, don't you? What are you saying? Well, he's just an alcoholic. No, you mean he's a drunk. He's a homeless man. No, you mean he's a hobo and a bum. You see, that's what all that stuff used to be called. Let's dress it all up. Let's make it sound like it. We don't want a stigma attached. You want a stigma associated with it, if you're going to get any help. If you're going to get any help, you gotta call it what it is. You gotta call sin what it is. It's sin. All unrighteousness is sin. That's what it is. Say, what's not right? Everything that's wrong. Numerous, this is in the Middle Ages, numerous leprosaria or leper hospitals sprang up in the Middle Ages. Matthew Paris, a Benedictine monk, estimated that in the early 13th century, there were 19,000 leper hospitals across Europe. How many of you knew that? The first recorded leper colony was in Harbledown, England. These institutions were run along monastic lines. And while lepers were encouraged to live in these monastic-type establishments, this was for their own health as well as quarantine. They put them in monasteries. Indeed, some medieval sources indicate belief that those suffering from leprosy were considered to be going through purgatory on earth. Hell on earth! What? Sin? More frequently, lepers were seen to exist in a place between life and death. I'm reading this stuff. This is encyclopedia stuff. No Christian wrote this stuff. In a place between life and death. They were still alive, yet many chose or were forced to ritually separate themselves from mundane existence. You know what Jesus said? He said, I've come that they might have life, and that they might have life more abundantly. And you know what people think? Man, I can live and enjoy sin. No, you can't. That's not living. That's bondage. You don't know what real joy is. You don't know what freedom is. Lord, I got a problem. Help! That's what you do. Don't sit there and say, well, I'll be all right with it. No, you won't. Better do something about it. Just a few points on all this here, and we'll be done. Like I said, there's many different types. Is there many different types of sin? It has an incubation period before it's noticed. See, you'll be thinking about something, and you'll be thinking about something. You know what you're doing? You're letting that thing in there, and it's incubating. But after a while, it's going to come out. After a while, it's going to get noticed. At the first sign of trouble, you best do something about it. You know what I've seen? You ever seen some 55-year-old woman that's got a leather face, cusses like a sailor, smokes like a chimney, drinks like a fish? You ever seen them? And they're 55 years old, man, and they're a mess. You can just look at them. You can see sin written all over them. I like seeing some of these older ladies in this church here, and you can tell. You see a difference. Look at their faces. You don't see that. You don't see it. That sin will, he'll destroy you. Been in hospitals. Old man in there, or over in a nursing home. I was thinking of this one guy in a nursing home. He was over there and just his whole life cussing like a sailor and drinking and hanging out with the wrong crowd and fornicating and married 3-4 times and, you know, just smoked his whole life and ate wrong and everything else. And he's in his 60s. You go in there, all you do is smell urine everywhere. How you doing, man? Oh, I'm doing good, preacher. Really? That's doing good? See, you don't think it's hurting you. It's killing you. Leprosy works slow. You don't just get leprosy and then the next day die or anything like that. Most people that have it will have it for decades and just slowly waste away to nothing. Blind, No fingers, no toes, no nose. Pain, every joint and every bone in their body. But nothing on the skin, they don't feel anything. Couldn't be my flesh. It just slowly rots you away. You know what we need? We need to have God's view on sin. And God's view on sin is leprosy. That's God's picture of sin in the Bible. That's how we need to view it. That's how we need to see it. And eventually it has a 100% mortality rate. But then again, what doesn't? That leprous man that Jesus Christ healed, you know what eventually happened to him? He died. Say, well, grandma got healed of cancer. Well, good. You know what's going to happen to her? She'll die. You see, there's something more deadly. There's something more worse than leprosy. It's sin. And it will put you in a grave one day. That's each of our problems. Each of our problems. The issue, brethren, the problem that all of us have is sin. And guess what the cure is? I will. He always was. I will. He always will be. I will. Be thou clean. Oh, I thank God for that day. Jesus looked down at a 25-year-old sinner and reached his hand down and touched me and said, I will. Be thou clean. Whew. Hallelujah. Just a touch from Jesus. That's what it took. That's what it took. Now, this wasn't the only time someone was healed. We see Jesus heals a few other fellows of leprosy, and we'll see that as we go through the book of Luke. But the first incident of anybody ever recorded being healed of leprosy is back in 2 Kings chapter 5. And that's with Naaman the Syrian. And he has a young Jewish slave girl with him. And he's got leprosy. And that slave girl says to someone else, she says, would to God that Naaman could get a hold of Elijah, the prophet, because he could heal him of his leprosy. And so word gets back to Naaman. Naaman contacts the king of Israel. The king of Israel's like, man, what are you doing? Call me. I can't heal nobody. What are you bothering me with this for? Who do you think I am? And then Elijah shows up and says, hey, king, what are you fretting over? No problem. I'll take care of it. And he goes to Naaman. And he doesn't even go to him. He sends message to him. And he says, tell Naaman to dip himself 7 times in the River Jordan, come out, and he'll be clean. And you know what Naaman does? He storms off in a rage. He's mad. Well, what? My own waters aren't any good? I got to use the waters of Jordan? You know, that's how people are. You tell them the cure. Hey, Jesus can heal you. Hey, Jesus can save you. Hey, Jesus can cure you of that sin problem. They get all mad. Well, wait a minute. I'm trying to show you the cure. What are you all mad about? Well, that's not the way I grew up. That's not what I believe, huh? See? That's how people are. Well, I was born a Catholic. I was raised a Catholic. I'm going to die a Catholic. Yeah, and you're going to die in your leprosy and go to hell. You better just do what God says to do. You know what happened? He finally said, all right, whatever. He goes down there. All he did is obey what the Lord said to do. Next thing you know, he's coming out of there just as clean as a baby. Amen. Healed. See, what did he do? Just believed what God said. That's all you have to do. I want to read you some stuff here, and I had to have a running shout when I read this. Do you know the first ever cure for leprosy was? Besides what we see, obviously, with God doing it. man coming up with a cure. This was first done in Greece. I'm going to read you some stuff. Real quick, just a few things. Or Derek Vitalis writes of a monk, Ralph, who was so overcome by the plight of lepers that he prayed to catch leprosy himself, which he eventually did. Well, that's stupid. You can't help them out if you got it too. That's not the idea. It's not let's all become big and have big problems with leprosy so we'll all look alike and we can get along. I'm crazy. The leopard would carry a clapper and a bell to warn of his approach. And this was as much to attract attention for charity as to warn people that a diseased person was near. In the Bible, God would have them put their hand over their mouth and go around, unclean, 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 everywhere they went to warn so that others wouldn't get too close to them, so others wouldn't catch it. Is that you here this evening? Unclean! But you're... buddy. Well, you better get healed. You might infect others. In 1881, around 120,000 leprosy patients existed in India. The central government passed the Lepers Act of 1898, which provided legal provision for forcible confinement of leprosy sufferers in India. They told them, no, you can't be around here. You've got to go over there. In the Bible with those Jews, that's what they did. They established leper colonies. They had to be all by themselves. Now, listen to this. The disease was known in ancient Greece as elephantiasis, or elephantiasis graecorum. At various times, listen, blood was considered to be a treatment. Man, I was like, what? Blood was considered to be a treatment, either as a beverage or as a bath. Hey, anybody here been washed in the blood? Wow! How did they come up with that? I don't know. But in ancient Greece, they started doing that and people got healed from their leprosy by taking a blood bath. Wow! I had no idea. Did anybody know that? Glory to God, man. The Lord knows what He's talking about. The blood of virgins or children was considered to be especially potent. Why? Because it was more pure. You know what they knew the cure was for leprosy? It had to be pure blood. Isn't that wild? And that's the only thing that would work, was that pure blood. It says this practice seems to have originated in ancient Egypt. I wonder if they got that from Joseph and his crew. But was also known in China. They were doing it everywhere. Oh, you just need to get a blood bath. Wild. This practice persisted until at least 1790. Paracelsus recommended the use of lamb's blood. Woo! I mean, man, I'm reading it. That's wild, man. Oh, yeah, all you have to do is just take a bath in lamb's blood and that'll heal you of your leprosy. Hallelujah. After that, they started noticing that snakes would work. Cobra venom was used. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. The sting of death. See? And you know what you need? You know what anti-venom is? You know where they make anti-venom from? From venom. You know what the cure for sin is? 2 Corinthians 5:21, "For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." Hallelujah. Anybody glad you're saved tonight? You realize what the Lord did for you? A common pre-modern treatment of leprosy was Chalmugra oil. Oil. Chalmugra, where does that come from? A tree. The oil, Holy Spirit, from a tree. How about that? Anybody found the cure? They were on to something, they just never figured it out. You know what the cure for the most deadly disease is? It's the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. It's the blood of Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. And then you know what you need? Some of that oil. You need to get filled with the Holy Spirit, Christian. You get filled with the Holy Spirit, let the fruits of the Spirit start to come out in your life, and you start mortifying that flesh. Listen, the Bible says, "Walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh." All it takes is some oil. How about it? How about it? Lord, if thou wilt, thou can cleanse me. He wants to cleanse you. Maybe he's just asking for you to just ask him. Maybe he's just waiting for you to make the first move. Let's stand for prayer. Father, I pray you bless the message. Lord, I thank you that there is a cure for the worst disease that's ever been. Lord, if there's someone here that's suffering from sin, they don't even realize it. They might not even notice it. But God, it's killing them. If they've never been saved, Lord, they're going to die. They're going to go to hell because of sin. And Lord, I pray that even now, they'd come down to this old-fashioned altar, they'd ask Jesus Christ to come into their heart, save their soul, and give them the free gift of eternal life. And Father, if there's any of your people here, Lord, just struggling and having a hard time with something that they're trying to get the victory over, God, I pray you bless and give them the victory. Just get them cleaned up, Lord. Help them to identify the first signs before it gets too bad. And God, that they do what they know to do and get in that book and get filled with the Spirit, get washed in the blood, begin to take precautions. Begin to be circumspect, Lord, and look out for the dangers, the hidden dangers associated with this wicked leprosy known as sin. Now, Father, we're thankful for the great physician. We're so thankful, Lord, that you're able to heal. Lord, that you're able to heal physically. But, Lord, most importantly, that you're able to heal spiritually. And Lord, for those that need a touch, that need a healing tonight, Lord, I pray that you'd provide, I pray you'd give it, I pray they'd look to thee, find the cure. And I ask and pray it all in Jesus' name and for Jesus' sake. Amen. And all God's people said...